7, and we'll get into this. The study actually has been very enjoyable, this one, and I probably will finish it next week. I broke it up into two parts and got to about halfway through, and then I just felt that I had plenty to go on. The title of the message, and we're looking at Proverbs, and Proverbs is a poetry book. In the Hebrew, they have three different areas in which we can look at ways that they write the poetry, and many of them is compare and contrast, and this is another one that you find a lot of compare and contrast type verses, meaning that it's going to be one way or the other way, and that's the way they use to, God uses in order for us to make good decisions, and we do this in our kids, as we raise our kids, we'll say, well, you can do this or you can do this. You choose which is the right way to live. And we want them to choose the right direction, but we want them to see both options and be able to pick which one. I'm reading a book called Love and Logic. I forget how they put it. And that is really a book developed in that premise that you don't necessarily just tell the kids what to do. You have them choose by their own decisions what it was. And as I read the book, I realized that's what God does. In the book of Proverbs, there's a lot of compare and contrast verses. And so let's begin reading Proverbs chapter 11. And I'm going to go ahead and hit the button here. So we're in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 1. And the title of the message is The Upright and True. And the benefits of the upright and true is what we're going to see here. And in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1, it says, and really, if I could, the first verse really sets the stage for the entire rest of the book. So the first verse is kind of my focal, and then it goes from there as we move forward. So let's read verse number 1, but we'll read many verses after. But pay close attention to verse number 1. It says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit nothing, not in the day of wrath, but righteousness deliver from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his ways, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their naughtiness. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of an unjust man perisheth. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. The hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Where no counsel is, but in the multitude of counselor there is safety. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and a strong man retaineth riches. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Through the hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. We see up to verse 21, a lot of compare and contrast verses there. Amen. Let's go to Lord in prayer and see if we can learn a little bit tonight from Proverbs chapter 11 on the upright and true nature of a believer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We ask that you help us to live in an upright way. May we find godliness and truthfulness in our lips and in our actions, Lord. And may we be known, not as a people and as a church, may we be known for our godly behavior, Lord. Please bless us now, and it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Now, when we look at this passage, the first thing that came to mind is I went back to the Ten Commandments. Now, if I were to say tonight, tell me about the Ten Commandments. What's the biggest of the Ten Commandments? What would you say? Loving the Lord. All right, that's good. I love that. Anybody else? Thou shalt not murder. I like that one. That's one, I don't know why. That's the one I go to. Who said it over here? Murder? I always think, thou shalt not murder. That's a big one in my book. I don't want anybody murdering me, all right? Amen? It's very negative and such. And, you know, we take the Ten Commandments. The first ones on my list were murder, keep the Sabbath, don't take the Lord's name in vain. Those are some good ones. There's many others. Have no other gods before thee. Those are Ten Commandments. But within the Ten Commandments, it's different for everybody else. We must be mindful of Exodus 20, verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, we always like to look at murder as the big one, one of the big 10. I always call them the big 10, right? There's more than 10 commandments, but God lists those 10 commandments as the covenant between Israel and God. And these were the ones that were really going to establish the relationship and move the nation forward. Really, our society, American society specifically, has been built off primarily those 10 commandments in many ways. And such with the Magna Carta and a lot of the things that were developed in our Constitution and our laws, they follow this mindset of honor and of uprightness and righteousness and such. In our society, just as murder is bad, we can also say dishonesty and lying is bad. And that's what really verse number one of this passage is focused on. It says a false balance. Right off the bat, it says a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And then from there begins a process of compare and contrast of righteousness and unrighteousness. And so this evening, we need to understand that for Christianity, for people of God, we must look at honesty and uprightness as something that we should make sure is a priority in our life. We should be known as people of God that are upright and righteous in our conduct in society. In all of these passages, really, it deals with outward expressions of righteousness in society at large. Whether it be in the city, whether it be in the marketplace, or whatever, we must have uprightness. Now, we all agree, and Sammy, you work in the grocery business, we all agree that when we go to the grocery store, the scale better be right. Amen? In fact, I know you have these. You have scales in your deli and stuff. And I worked for a company, United Service Technology, and we had to go and service those scales and make sure that the scales had the proper weights. And we had technicians that were certified by the state of and we brought in the proper weights. And we made sure the weights were certified by the state of California and the federal government. And we put our weights on there and make sure the scales balanced. I'm sure you have to do the same thing with yours, because we know that if you cannot trust the grocer, you cannot trust the bank, if you can't trust these individuals in society, then society cannot function properly. And it could be said for believers in God, of God, that we must live with godliness and righteousness and honesty in our daily living and strive for that in our lives. As children of God, we need to take a strong look at the conduct that we do in business outside of church. Now, I say business. You say, well, Pastor, I'm a homemaker. I'm a teacher. There's no business. Look, when you go to the grocery store, guess what you're doing? You're doing business. In fact, in historically, that was a big part of a woman's life. She managed the household. Go to Proverbs chapter 31, and you'll find that woman, she went to buy and sell, and she would take care of her family. That's a major part of business, was going to the grocery store, going to the gas station. You ever think about it, by the way? You ever think, how do you know you're getting a gallon of gas?
I don't.
You don't, amen? They have a state of California seal certified it. Why? Because we need to have assurances. If not, we wouldn't know how much a gallon, if we're getting a gallon of gas. You might be getting a little bit less. And think about it. If you just got maybe a 9/10 of a gallon, and if everybody only got 9/10 of a gallon, the gas station would benefit from it. And so we need to understand, it's important for us to have integrity and to be able to conduct business and to be known for honesty. If you're a business owner in here, or if you sell things from your home, or if you're doing a yard sale, you want to be known as an honest person. Wickedness that we see is defined here. We see several times it uses the wicked as a term and unrighteous as a term. Wickedness is something that we need to be wary of. The Bible says in verse number five, the righteous of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. And wickedness is defined in unrighteousness, but specifically wickedness is defined and translated as lawlessness. And we need to be careful. We don't want to be a society of lawless people. A society of law. We don't want to be known in ourselves as one that is lawless or wicked or not living in a structured environment of truth and righteousness. And it's important for us as believers, and I'm speaking to Christians now, that we take it serious about our conduct of how we engage in our society. Are we known for being honest? Are we known for being upright? Are we known for being righteous in our conduct in society? And so let's be careful of that. So we see here several things we could learn from tonight that I want us to grab a hold of. And I stopped at verse 21 because it changes a little bit from a compare and contrast, and it goes into some different ways of drawing forth and making sure that we look at it later on. So it goes in verse 22 as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman. So it goes into comparisons instead of compare and contrast. So we stopped at verse 21 so that we can just get a balance on this. So the first thing I want you to see tonight is, number one, seek honesty in all areas of business. Now, I don't want you to think this is only dealing with businessmen or business persons. If you own a business or something of that nature, you just want to be able to seek that you're just excluded from this. Business is anything from going to the grocery store to buying gas at the gas station or whatever it may be. And we need to seek honesty in all areas. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, the Bible says. And we maybe have heard this, maybe in your lexicon, you say, well, you know, a little light white lie won't what? That's what the world would say, right? A little white lie doesn't matter. Oh, it doesn't matter if you tell a little lie. Those little lies don't really mean anything. Be careful of that. Another one is, what they don't know won't hurt them. You know, absence of truth, of keeping truth from someone is a form of a lie, and such. And we know this, that we get offended when politicians don't tell the truth or don't tell us what we need to know. Amen? Because we know in our political realm that lying is wrong, and we need to have all the truth, full disclosure, if you will. So honesty in business is so important. Now, when we look at that first two words, we're going to look at the first one, the false. What does false mean? In verse number 1 of chapter 11, it says, again, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And so we're going to look at two words, and this really goes into lots of areas of our life, but false means this. It means a sense of deceiving. It means fraud. It means crafty or deceitful. False, feigned, guile, subtly, or I love this word at the end of it in Strong's Concordance, treachery. And that's what we need to be wary of in our actions as we go about our business. We need to make sure that everything we do is honest and upright, that there's no falseness in us. Now, we don't want to be noted for treachery, do we? When I think of treachery, I think of someone that is deceiving. I think of someone that maybe has pulled the knife out and is ready to stab the back of the individual, you know, treachery. I think of those, that are trying to deceive or to be wicked in some way. And God is warning His Christians, His people, there should be no treachery within the realm of God's people. Be careful of that. The term abomination, by the way, is another strong word. We say a false balance is abomination. When I hear this as a kid growing up, I always thought, well, that's the abominable snowman, right? You know, something like that, right? Something big and hairy. But abomination is something that is disgusting to God. It means morally disgusting. That is, it is abhorrent. It's repulsive. It would be like when you go into some area that has a strong odor and your head just kicks back and, oh, I can't stand it anymore, right? That's what it's talking about. And that's what God thinks of falseness and lies in our society, the false balance. Now, in those days, again, we're dealing with a very basic society where the major selling of things would be found in the food, and it would be found in how much grain one would purchase, things of that nature, whether it be for animals or for personal consumption. And it was well known that if you could get your scales to tip one way or the other, you could gain a little bit. And God is very clear that that's abhorrent to God. I remember the Norman Rockwell painting. Everybody might have seen this, where the lady has got something on the metal scales, and her hand is underneath the scale, slightly elevating it. At the same time, the grocer's hand is discreetly down on the scale, slightly pushing down on it. When I thought of this, it reminded me that, you know, it could go both ways. We could be on the gain, or we could be on, they could be on the take. Either way, it's an abomination to the Lord, and we must look at it properly. So a couple of thoughts on this. Do not allow falseness in your life. Don't allow it in your presence. I want you to turn to a couple of this passage specifically, Psalms 101, verse number 1. If you're in Proverbs, keep your bookmark in Proverbs 11. We'll be coming back to it. And go to Psalm 101. And, you know, being honest is a decision that we must determine to make. And also, let me say this, lying can become habitual. I don't know if you've ever, hopefully nobody in here, but you ever met anybody that seems to be a habitual liar? They choose to lie even when it's easier to tell the truth. I mean, why? Why would you even do that? But it can be a habit. It can be habit forming. Psalms 101, verse number 1. We're going to read the whole chapter. You'll see the mindset. It says, I will sing of the mercies and judgments unto thee, O Lord. I will sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slander his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that have a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall see upon the faithful of the land, and that they may dwell with me, and he that walketh in my way, in a perfect way, shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land. I will cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. So we see here David in this great psalm is saying he's not going to have any wickedness in his presence. He's not going to have any deceitfulness. I love verse number 3. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. He's going to shed these wicked things off of his life. Look, in your life tonight, you must determine to stay honest in the presence of God. You must make that a desire in your heart. David has no doubt. He says, I don't want any part of that in my home. Amen? And that must be the desire of every one of us. From the teenager and the young child in here to the senior saint, all of us must determine to have honesty as a major part of their life. Look, the Ten Commandments is clear. Yes, we shouldn't murder. Yes, we shouldn't be given to adultery. And yes, we shouldn't be given to false witness. Last time I checked, that's lying. The reality is we must not allow it in our presence. Every home must be built on honesty. Every child must be trained up to teach and to be honest. We always joke about the little child that lies and says, no, I haven't been in the cookie jar, when the cookie's all over his face. And that is a natural response of every child that's ever been born into this world. But we must train them to be honest and not to be a liar. So we must not allow it in our presence. We must see, by the way, who the father of lies is. Go to John chapter 8, verse 44. John 8, 44. Who is it that is the father, the master, the king of all liars? And that's who we must avoid. John chapter 8, verse 44 in the Gospels. It says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. If you want to know if there's any truth in the devil, there's absolutely no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So if you have lying in your home, you're bringing in the natural tendencies of the devil himself, who's the father of all lies. Build your marriage on truthfulness. Look, ladies, if you ask your husband, does this dress make me look fat? Expect him to tell the truth. Amen? And all husbands say, that dress looks beautiful on you, honey. Don't answer the question. Answer it with a positive affirmation. Amen? I've never seen colors more beautiful on a woman. Amen? Don't answer. Don't say yes or no. And ladies, don't pin them down. Amen? Just take the love that you get. That's how you need to look at it. The truth of the matter is, though, we must... Look, the other night, my wife, Melinda, came to me, last night actually, and had a dress. We're going on a conference, and she says, what do you think about this outfit right here? It says, well, honestly, I think the shirt is horrible, and the skirt I like a lot. And my kids are like, wow, that was a little harsh. Well, what would you rather me say? Yeah, it's good. Wear it. No, I'm going to be honest. Now, I didn't say it looked bad on her. If she put it on, it's beautiful. Amen. But as it sits side by side on the side there, no, I don't think that's a good way to. I wouldn't wear that for nothing. Because better that than to not be honest, to just be a lie, to make it a lie, to where she can't trust the next time. When I said, she said, what do you think of this skirt? I said, that skirt looks really nice. I like that a lot. You know, she can trust that now, because she knows if I'm honest on one thing, I'm going to be honest on the other. And I'm not building myself up. That was just one shining moment in my life right there. But the truth is, we have a tendency to want to sugarcoat it. That's another nice phrase for lie, right? We have a tendency to want to make it a little bit better. But look, when we do that, we're just falling into the pattern of the father of lies, who has no truth in him. And may we not follow in that path. Look, do not allow it in your presence. See who the father of lies is. If you are a liar, you're bringing in lying into yourself. You're lying into yourself there. You're bringing the father of lies into your home. And then seeing lying is a heart issue. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18. If you're in the Gospel of John, flip back a page or two. It's really about the heart, not about the words. Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 18. We'll look at that passage right there. It says, But those sayings which proceed out of the mouth cometh from the heart, and they defile the man. So the things that we're going to talk about here in a second, they come from the heart and they mess up, they defile, they make the man impure. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts. Now, by the way, now all this sounds like the Ten Commandments, right? It goes on, it says thefts. What else does it say? False witness and blasphemy. These are all heart issues. These aren't actions. They reveal what's in the heart of man. Again, but those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh from the heart. So the mouth is just the external of what's in your heart. Be careful you don't allow lying to become a heart issue. It becomes a habit for you. That every word, you have to question if it's truth. Be careful that you don't talk about somebody behind their back, which is a form of lying. I'm often wary when I'm with somebody who will maybe get a phone call, and they're very sweet on the phone call, and as soon as they hang up, they talk negatively about the person. I often wonder, what are they talking about me when I'm done with my conversation? Because they're nice one way, and then they're negative the very moment after. That's a form of lying. What you should be is nice on both, amen, not negative on both. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, to be honest. You see, but there's a heart issue there, and those things are something we need to be wary of. Check your heart. Make sure that there's honesty and uprightness and purity in your heart, and let that allow that to just continue. Number two, we see the first one is seek honesty in all areas of business and then all areas of life. No matter what area you have, let's seek honesty. But number two, pursue the rewards of honesty. You know, there's certain things. Now, the world will not sponsor these. Maybe some will. I rejoice every so often. We'll watch usually it's a kids program or something. We still have young kids at home, and they'll a kids program will teach honesty. I appreciate some of those, the older ones maybe and such. But our society today maybe will not promote some of these things. But pursue honesty and the rewards of it. When we seek honesty, we often feel that we are going to get the wrong end of the stick. I often wondered where that phrase came from. But we'll get the wrong end of the stick, meaning that we're going to get shorted in some way. We're not going to get the good deal. We're going to get less, right? Or we might get the raw deal. That, you know, not the good, but the leftover or whatever. The world teaches us that we must take all measures to succeed. That's what society at large is. Our business in business. Make sure you get the whatever it takes to succeed in life, to gain whatever. If you have to put someone else down so you can move up the corporate ladder, go ahead. That's all right. It's all fair in business. That's not the way we should live. The world gives us a different view than God's. God has a different worldview. It shows that if we will be honest, we will be successful. If we live our life honestly and righteously, God will bless us. And we need to grab a hold of that thought. So we can find that in verses 4 through 12. Go back to our text now, Proverbs chapter 11, if you kept a bookmark there. We see riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness deliver from death. The righteous of the perfect shall direct his ways, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. And we read these verses before, so let's just look at some of these verses. First, we're going to define a few other words here. We're going to look at the word righteous. What is righteous? If righteousness and truthfulness and honesty, what is righteousness? Well, righteousness, if you want to write down the definition, is rightness. Subjectively, restitude, which I didn't know it, restitute. I had to look up the definition, a definition for the definition. But restitute means morally correct. So I gave you two definitions and one definition right there. But it's righteousness. It's morally correct. It's justice. It's morally virtuous. It's justly. That's what the word talks about. And when we talk about righteous living, there's a reward for it. Righteousness gives us several rewards. Number one, or letter A in that, righteousness gives us guidance. When we have righteousness in our life, God promises to give us guidance. Verse number 5, the righteous of the perfect shall direct his way. Look, I promise you, a liar is always trying to figure out how to tell the lie. And trying to remember what the last lie was, so he can continue the lie in the future. He's always struggling at remembering which lie he told last. Amen? Now, I don't know about you. That sounds complicated to me. If you're lying all the time and you never know what your last lie was or what your next lie should be, it's confusing. But God says, look, if you will live righteously and honestly with integrity and justly, then he will give you guidance. It's simple life. Look, the 2 + 2 is always 4. You don't ever have to guess at it ever again. Amen? And a truthfulness is always truthfulness. And it never changes. In your life, it will guide you. It'll be a direction in your life. It'll give you understanding. It will direct you in your way. Though the world will say that if you tell the truth, you'll not gain the job or you won't get the reward, God says it will direct you and give you the guidance you need to live your life. That's why we need to be careful when we're getting jobs, when we're filling out the resume. Don't lie on your resume. How foolish is that? You know, it's all going to come out. When I entered this possibility of coming to the church, I submitted a resume, and I wanted to be an honest, and I gave the honest and hopefully the best I could, humblest expression of who I am, and let it all fall where it may. I didn't want to impress somebody with my credentials and throw my highly educated life into that. No, I just wanted to be honest. The truth is, when we try to be honest, it's going to direct us. Righteousness will give us deliverance. Also, verse 6, we'll see it in there. The righteous of their upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. Go to verse number 8. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. Verse number 9. A hypocrite with his mouth with his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. So we're going to find this justness, this righteousness, this honesty is going to give us deliverance. It's going to give us a way of life that brings us out of trouble and into a good standing with God. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse number 4. Romans chapter 8, verse 4. And we're going to see a supporting verse for that. Romans chapter 8, verse number 4. And it says there, it says, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after flesh, but after the Spirit. That for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We see here a promise that, look, you just got to live righteously, live godly, live in a mind for God, and let God guide you and direct you and deliver you from the trials and struggles in your life. The natural tendency of man is to lie, to get out of trouble. That's the flesh talking. Just be honest and forthright and tell the truth and let God deliver you in your righteousness and deliver you as you live your life for God. So we see righteousness will give you guidance. Righteousness will give you deliverance as you live a godly life for Him. And righteousness will bring you to exaltation, and you will be exalted in that. We see that in two areas, verse number 10 and verse number 11. Go back into our main text. It says, when it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. In verse number 11, it says, the blessing of the upright in the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. So two areas that we see that have impact. One impact is rejoicing. Look, when you live a righteous life, you're going to have rejoicing. You're bringing rejoicing to other people. You bring joy to other people by your righteous and godly and truthful living. And so let us be an honest people. Look, the city rejoiceth when they have a godly ruler. And do we not know that in our state and in our country? When we have a godly president or a godly leader or a godly... Oh boy, we're rejoicing, amen? And when we see wickedness, it just brings shouting. I think that right there. It just brings shouting. It brings negativity. And may it be said in our own life. You want to find a person that's a joy to be around? It always seems to be just happiness and pleasantness. It's somebody that's living righteously. They're never fearful of the police barging in on their house or living in an ungodly lifestyle, the problems that come from that. Go to Isaiah 33. Great verse. If you're in Proverbs, just Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Go to the right just a little bit. Maybe a half an inch in your Bible. Amen. Quarter inch even. Isaiah 33, and a great passage on the righteous being exalted. Isaiah 33, I lost my page there. Verse number 15, just three verses. Isaiah 33, verse 15. Sorry, I looked at the wrong one there. There we go. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil on high, his place of defense shall be in the munitions of bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. Isn't that a great verse on living righteously for God? The world would say, no, if you're going to get it, you better get your own. You better reach in and you better take it. If it's weak, you take it from the weak and we'll give it and take it away from them. And that's ungodliness. God calls us to be righteous. And when we are righteous, we will be exalted in God's time. Notice, by the way, in all of these passages, it isn't that we exalt ourselves, but God does it for us. So live godly, live righteously, live honestly. Let your honesty shine in our society and let God elevate you to a position where God can bless you and get the glory through you. So we see first, we see number one, we saw seek honesty in all areas of business, in every area of your life, doesn't matter what. Number two, pursue the rewards of honesty. Know that God is going to bless you for being faithful and honest. Don't ever shirk your honesty. Trust the Lord, He's going to bless you. Say, but what if He doesn't? It's the Lord, He can be relied upon, amen? And then finally, number three, find blessings in righteousness. Look, there are some things that are just, if you're living godly in Christ Jesus, there it's a natural resource. You're going to find blessings in it. We find that in verses 17 through verse 21. The merciful man doth good in his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it unto his own death. Verse number 20. That are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord. Again, that harsh word of abhorrentness. But such as are upright in their ways are his delight. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. So four areas of blessing that we can look at this evening, and then we'll be closed and go into the Lord's table. Letter A, first, good for the soul. When we are honest and upright, it's good for our soul. Verse 17, it says, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul. You're doing a benefit by being godly, righteous, and honest in our society. It's good for you. It's good for your spirit. You need that in your life. Each one of us, look, you feel anxious, you feel stressed, you feel the world's coming down. Look, just live honestly before God. Live, and it's going to elevate your spirit. It's going to be, it's like medicine to you, amen? It's going to minister to you. It's good for your soul. Each one of us take it to heart that if we live honestly and godly and righteously before God, then God will bless us and it will be a spiritual uplift to us. Number letter B, we'll see it's a gaining of a sure reward. Verse 18, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Now we don't know what the sure reward will be. You might be, well, I was expecting, was honest and I was expecting $100 for it. That might not be the reward you're getting. But can we trust God that He will give us the reward that we are due? You ever think that some of the greatest rewards we have, we miss because we're not looking for them? We think that it's going to be the Jeep Grand Cherokee that I always talk about, and instead it was the Ford Pinto. It's a great illustration, folks. But it was my reward. And praise God, that Ford Pinto got me where it needed me to go for many months, and it was a blessing. But we missed the blessing because we failed to see the reward. The reality is we need to trust the Lord. It's going to be of a sure gain of reward. There's two key words in that verse. Number one, verse 18, it says, to him that soweth rice shall be a sure reward. The first one is sure, which means stability. It means truth, trustworthiness. It means assured, establishment. It's faithful, meaning that it's guaranteed to happen. This would be like on TV, you know, when you have those TV commercials. Guaranteed, 100% money back guarantee. Amen. How do you get any better than that? Now, on those commercials, I don't necessarily believe that. But with God, I can bank on it. He's going to reward me for my righteousness, my truthfulness. And though the world may try to take stabs at it and bring us down, God will reward us. It's sure. What does reward mean? It means wages. It means reward. It means you're going to get your due. You're going to get what's promised you. You're going to get benefits. The things that you've worked for so hard, God will give them to you. God wants and will bless His children, and it's a guaranteed promise from God. So we see it's good for the soul. We see it's a gaining of a sure reward. Letter C, righteousness and truth tend to life, gives us life. gives us a fulfilling life, if you want to look at it that way. Verse number 19, it says, as righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Look, living an ungodly life is going to shorten your existence here on this earth, I promise you. And living a righteous life for God is going to extend it by measures to where you're living for God, and God will bless you for it. It's going to tend to your life. It's going to minister to your life. You're going to gain the benefits of a long life. Now, that's not saying that you're going to be the oldest man, but that your life will have meaning, and truly, you'll have a good life for God. So good for the soul, gain of a short reward, righteousness that tendeth to life instead of shortening your life. And then letter D, finally, righteousness is a delight to God. Could we be, maybe this be the best one yet? Verse 20, they that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord. That's important. That's that head jerk back, smelly, disgusting smell, right? But it goes on to say, but such as are upright in their ways are his delight. Could that be the reason we're honest tonight? Could that give us the reason for why we should be honest and living in integrity? If all the world hates us for our honesty, if all the world turns against us, yet God is delighted, should we not live honestly for God? By the way, the world doesn't want you honest. They don't want you to be honest in your business. Oh, they do if it's to their gain or benefit. But we have contracts that are supposed to guarantee honesty, and there's always what? The loophole that we miss and such. And we need to realize that we want to be righteous so that we're pleasing to God. If He's the only one that is pleasing and the world rejects us entirely, then we need to be pleasing to God anyway and be a delight to Him. Look, in our life, we need to have honesty. What is the testimony of your family name, the church, Christianity at large? Is it known for righteousness? Is it known for honesty? Is it known out in society as godliness? I pray that it is in our day that we live in. I pray that in our community, when they look at Sierra Hills Baptist Church, they may not like what we say, they may not like what we stand for, but they cannot deny this, we're honest. Amen? Honest before God in what we do. And when we buy something or sell something, we're selling it with all honesty. I'm always careful when I sell a used car. I don't try to make it look any better than what it is. I tell them every single thing that's wrong with it. I don't want it ever coming back to me that this car was anything than what it is. And most of my cars, again, in 1998, Buick Park Avenue, $300,000, you get buyer beware. Amen? You buy it, you might get good tires. That might be the good thing out of the deal. Here recently, I just found out I have a car that I'm going to be selling. And I told Jesse, I said, Jesse, sell it for $1,000. I'd tell him it's for parts or whatever. But don't sell it for anything but what it is. Amen. I want to be honest. And I hope that's what we all are in our conduct with society and such. And on that, let's go to Lord in prayer. Let me close a few things here. Oh my goodness, I got screened. I hope that wasn't recorded. All right, thank you so much for being here on Facebook, you folks there. And we'll close that.